Oh, that's very, that happens. It's usually the fans' fault.
That's what I like to think.
Yeah.
No, but I'll take the blame.
Okay.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to Sappening Podcast.
Sappening!
Sappening!
You are listening to episode 243 of Sappening Podcast, featuring myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards. And this episode was united by fate.
Of course,
from a musical legend who is always writing an open letter to the scene.
Yep, this week's guest is alt-rock fucking hardcore legend Walter Schreifels of Rival Schools, Quicksand, Gorilla Biscuits, and many other projects. He's been involved with loads of fucking brilliant stuff, and he is, like I said, a legend.
Yeah, literally. I think we need to throw some emphasis on how surreal this one is. Walter is one of those unique figures who has just been a staple of influence on so many musical styles, trends, and subgenres throughout his whole career. If it's from the wild side of New York hardcore with Gorilla Biscuits and Youth of Today, to new metal grunge anthems with Quicksand, or the indie rock hooks of Rival Schools, he has laid down the foundations to a lot of your favorite bands and is someone generally admired within the industry and songwriting folklore. Rival Schools came to the UK just a couple of weeks ago to celebrate 20 plus years of their debut album at 2000 Trees Festival, and we were very lucky enough to have some time to pick his brain and his musical journey backstage in a quiet tent, sat on some hay bales, and just having a laugh. I mean, it's safe to say he is considered an idol to you and so many of your friends, Sean.
Yes, he's just a legend in the scene. Like, all of those bands are brilliant. It's nuts. People always go out of their way and try different music, and it doesn't always work. But what an absolute legend and inspiration this man has been to so many people. And the thing is, like, he's influenced people that we all love as well. So it's like, he's influenced us. Like, even if I didn't love Walter Schreifels and his previous bands, they would have influenced the bands I love anyway. So, yeah, I absolutely loved having this chat, and it was a fantastic time. I loved it. Look at me, I'm speechless about it.
Literally.
It was great. Top chap.
But there was a lot of atmosphere around 2000 Trees like that as well. So many people we were talking to just saying how ecstatic they were to see Rival Schools and to see Walter live in the flesh. And throughout this conversation, we're going to dive into all three of his main projects and the fact that they are coexisting at the same time. We're going to get perspectives on every scene by the decade, how things like Gorilla Biscuits can grow and have its own life after their original breakup, some classic tour stories, and the best wholesome vibes. This was just a great opportunity. We have to thank our good friend Emma Van Dytes for sorting us out,
super,
and 2000 Trees for being so awesome. But before we get into everything, if you'd like to spread some love of Sappening Podcast, head over to social media, share it at Sappening Pod on
Please.
Twitter and Instagram, give us a follow, tell your friends, and support us via our Patreon page at patreon.com/Sapnin. A few of them today have had an interesting thread of controversial music opinions, and so far there's been no arguments, which is good. It's a good laugh. So, you know, get involved in that.
Yeah, my worry is there's no arguments because the people who've disagreed have just left the Patreon. That's my fucking worry. But yes, join in. It's a good laugh. They're a fantastic bunch of humans. The best part of this podcast. So yes, check it out, patreon.com/Sapnin. But without further ado, the man, the myth, the legend, Walter Schreifels. I don't know why I'm talking in this weird voice. Oh, I've gone mad. Sapnin! And my voice broke. Fuck. Sound like I'm 12.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Sapnin.
Yes.
We are joined at the moment by the legendary, and I don't say this lightly, legendary Walter Schreifels of the fantastic Rival Schools and so many other fantastic bands. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks so much. It's really, really very nice to be here with you.
This is an honor for us.
Yeah,
we appreciate
you taking the time to do this. We know you've been really busy lately, just kind of touring so much.
Yeah.
How is it being just like, I'm sure you must be kind of jet lagged for the most part, but like...
I'm hanging in there. I think I might book 2024 slightly differently. But... because I'm doing all these different bands, so there's no like central thing. So I'm just looking at dates in the calendar. I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. And then I like looked at and I'm just like booked till December, like the whole damn time. But you know, it's all fun stuff and it's not like the kind of work that you're like, God, I hate work. No, it's not. It's adventure, it's fun and
do all those different outfits have different booking agents then?
Let's see. they all have their different structures. You know what I mean? So it's kind of interesting in that it's like do you know, I don't know if they had this in the UK, but in the States, they used to have, you know, all this kids' cereals.
Yeah.
You could get your one mini big pack. Box, but the little mani pack with like eight different ones.
Yeah.
Like, that's my lifestyle.
A tiny box of Cocoa Pops.
Yeah.
Nice.
You know, sometimes you get the sugar ones, you want to crush those ones, and you're kind of like, all right, screw it, I'll have cornflakes.
Yeah, I was just wondering how that is for like all your booking agents. Do they have to contact each other and be like, what's he doing? What's he doing this time?
We do have some crossover. So that makes it easy. At this stage, you know, everyone's cool. Everyone knows each other. So I really do appreciate, you know, the team, and also all my different bandmates. We all have, you know, different and some shared, but all our own separate sort of chemistry and sense of fun.
That's awesome.
But it's nice that there can be an understanding between everyone like that when you're in so many projects and it's all doing stuff and active. And I mean, how have you been able to wrap your head around the role mentally? Because there's a lot of different vibes with this, with like, you know, rival schools doing shows again, and then you've got like Quicksand anniversaries of vinyls and stuff coming out, and then the
Gorilla Biscuits.
Yeah, Gorilla Biscuit stuff. I mean, like, wrap your head around it all must be so weird.
I guess maybe there is more than I'm giving it credit for, but for me it's more like you know, you have your friends from high school, you have your friends from like whatever, uni.
Yeah.
And then you got your work, that one place that you worked that was cool. And then there was those people that you hung out with for a while that were into this weird shit that you were into, but you still keep in touch. I'm kind of rolling with these different groups. So while I'm interact differently with each one, I enjoy the mindset and don't really have too much trouble falling into it. And especially because all the music is, you know, the stuff that I've written over my career. So it would be, you know, I guess I'm sort of like would be like an artist that, you know, collaborates with others. And, but, you know, I have my different periods, you know, like I wouldn't compare myself to Bowie, but, you know, Bowie's always working with different bands, creating different kinds of music. So is it weird for him to play Low and then play, you know, something off of Low and then play something off of Ziggy Stardust? I don't know. You know what I mean? And then play something brand new. So I guess there's a little bit of that. The logistics are interesting, but this has really been the one year that I've just really kicked it into high gear, mainly because Gorilla Biscuits got active again. But I'm enjoying myself, to be honest, and it'd be here and Rival Schools in the UK is a special connection, yeah. So I'm feeling that.
I bet, yeah. I bet, yeah. Well, to this day, it's still a staple in most rock clubs, like at least one Rival School song. So,
oh man, yeah, I love that.
That's
love
awesome. That. Yeah.
Do you treat all three of those projects in particular differently, as in like different sides of your personality, in terms of like when you have to get into the mood of, okay, it's these shows I'm doing for these couple of weeks and then I'm getting back into this? Or do you just see it all as like a mixture bag of everything you've done, and then you can kind of get back in that zone when you need to?
I suppose I appreciate them differently for what they are, you know, like I would say the one that's, you know, like I'm playing guitar in Gorilla Biscuits, so to me that's like kind of the easiest and the funnest, because it's not like the audience is such a part of it, so it's really not a heavy lift, to be honest. Rival Schools has a certain energy and a certain positivity that I like really like to inhabit. It's a little bit more engaged because I'm singing, so I have to care about my voice, you know, which is annoying to have to care about it. And I would say Quicksand has like a real kind of cathartic element to it, so I would say it's probably like the most that I would I kind of dig deeper in that one. But for that, like, you know, it doesn't have to be all light and fun, you know what I mean? So and we do have a lot of fun nonetheless. So it's all about the chemistry with the people. But I mean, the songs definitely touch on different kind of aesthetics and different kinds of ways of you know, expressing myself and, you know, sort of different sorts of subject matter and sort of character.
Yeah. It must be so surreal as well to, like, you look at that calendar and be able to think like, oh, all these three things can be active and can coexist. Because yeah. I'm sure for years, like, you know, it's just been one thing ends, you start something else, and then there's talk of like maybe a break, or could this happen again? You're trying to find things for it to work, but just to be at a place that you're like, oh, everything can exist. It doesn't need to have like a label on it per se. Like, if we want to do this, we can, then let's just be like a really nice stage to be part of.
I'm appreciating it. You know, I mean, I think there's all different stages to my career and you know, to be in a place where I'm, that the music that I've done is still appreciated and all over the world. And, you know, in different ways. And, you know, there's plenty of people that are just Rival Schools fans and are not aware of Gorilla Biscuits or Quicksand or the other stuff. There's some people that know like every freaking thing that I've done. And running the gamut of that is, there's a rich texture to it. So I feel very fortunate and I'm hustling a little bit more this year, but, you know, grateful for it. You know, there's like, I'm still tight with all my friends, you know, and still get to see like Emma. I get to see my friends from around the world on a sort of like, in a way that I get to continue those relationships and have cool experiences.
Yeah, nice. It's just always awesome when stuff like this works out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we all know projects and bands we wish would do something, and then there's only like a handful of times it happens in our lifetime and stuff. So I'm excited that all three of these things are going on.
So.
But you speak of like influence and how many people have checked out these projects and stuff. Is it weird to be at a part of your life now where there's other notable musicians or just creatives in like different industries and pick up on certain nuances and bits of your career that maybe you thought, oh, I wouldn't have thought that would have inspired you to go and do this kind of thing? Does anything come to mind when you're like being in those conversations in the past?
Yeah, there'll be things that'll pop up. Like one that I've noticed is bubbling up right now is the record I did after Rival Schools. I did a record called Walk in Concert, and a lot of people have been kind of hitting me up about that one as of late. So it's like sort of come up in the consciousness. I mean, it's not like critical mass or anything, but I just find it interesting that that's what I'm hearing about a lot lately. And, you know, it goes in cycles, you know, I think there was one sort of time where I was like, kind of got a sense that Gorilla Biscuits was having a career after the run, you know, and being like, okay, wow, so these things, new people discover these things. And as you deep dive into any of it, which I think people naturally deep dive into everything now, you know, if you find you like something, a deep dive requires like a couple of hours of YouTube, right? Then you can know everything you want to know. So I think I'm benefiting from some of that, or, you know, and likewise, you know, as I will discover things like, you know, I'm grateful for all that, you know, because I want to know about new shit. I want to know about the stuff that I miss and you know, kind of dig deeper.
Is there anything that stood out for you that you've missed over the years that's come back out with just things you've enjoyed from other artists? Are you like, oh, didn't catch this first time around?
Yes. I feel like I'm constantly rediscovering things that would be or just stuff that happened that you just had no idea about. I'd have to look through my Spotify, you know.
Yeah,
but it seems like there were songs recorded in every era that were fucking awesome that like for some reason I never heard, and I was like, that was my business to know about it in a way, you know. And also time changes context, you know what I mean? Context is always different. Like you know, there's a certain group of bands, I'm sure when you guys were on tour, you were missing, like, you might have been very hip on your local scene, and then you start to lose touch with your local scene because you're traveling, you're no longer there, you're not seeing the play-by-play.
Yeah.
So there was eras like that where I was heavily touring, and then I'll find some band like, oh shit, they're actually pretty special now I get it, you know? Yeah. So it happens.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, you experienced that a lot, kind of back in the day.
Yeah, I missed out on, because I was so blinkered by what was going on with me,
right.
Like, I just ignored everything. And also, I think I didn't want to take influence from those people as well.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I didn't want to be like, oh, this My Chemical Romance are doing quite well.
Right.
Perhaps we should do that. Like, I was just like, oh, I'm doing this. And then ultimately, I started partying and I killed everything. But other than that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's good. It's good to protect yourself from, like, I didn't listen to Radiohead for years because it was just too,
wow, yeah,
too powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, what a bad sentence. Yeah. I didn't listen to Radiohead because it was too powerful. Yeah, wow. That's wild.
Yeah. But if that happens, you can get caught up in this world and time flies. You know, like, you know, being at festivals now, it's funny because you realize how fast a year's gone.
Yes.
And I can just, I'm sure you can attest to that throughout your career of just like, time is such a weird thing and things come and go so fast.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Even within smaller segments of time where you're on, like right now I'm on tour time. So which is a strange thing where you'll spend a whole day like in a van or on a ferry and like I guess you could be massively bored, or it just kind of like passes in some sort of way where you have like three or four conversations and do three different things, and that's a whole 24-hour period. And I didn't mind it. I had a good time, you know. So and I didn't. Nothing really happened. It was fine. So time just moves differently.
What's the weirdest travel like plan or like schedule you've had to do? Because you mentioned a few forms of transportation there. I'm sure there's been some.
Oh shit! I mean, you guys are tourists. I mean, I guess it's like more like tight windows. You know what I mean? Like, okay, guys, I understand you're having fun, but we have to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning to drive to make a festival. You guys are going on first. But we need that money to make it to the next thing. So let's, you know, that kind of stuff. Not a fan of those kind of situations.
Yeah.
You want to have ideally a day off, you know, in between everything so you can have a cool time and appreciate the city. But it doesn't always work like that. But it was really nice yesterday, for example, taking waking up in Harlem in the Netherlands, which is a beautiful city. And then ending up on a ferry from Calais, seeing the White Cliffs, and then driving through England as the sun went down, listening to only UK music.
Oh wow! Oh, wow.
Starting with a Britpop Power Hour.
Nice.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong. Who's on my list? Blur, Pulp.
All the greats.
They're good. Good.
Heavy on Blur and Oasis and you know, all the guys in there. Supergrass, Pulp, Echo Belly got a spin.
Nice.
We're looking out for everybody.
Nice.
Nice. Oh,
any
wow.
A? Did you have any A?
Shit, they don't quite make Britpop.
I know Britpop, yeah, but I was just...
They were a little too like more rocky.
Yeah.
We're going straight Britpop.
Pop punk and then that one new metal song. Like nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love them.
Yeah.
I love them.
Those are our brothers. When we were... on United by Fate album, those were our homies for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, Jason would tell me stories for hours about it.
Epic tours. It was so wonderful being with them too when they were really kind of taken off. It was very, very cool.
Yeah, yeah. The most positive people ever.
Oh, hell yeah. The nicest guys on earth.
Yeah.
Absolutely lovely.
Sweethearts.
you mentioned people like rediscovering stuff, and especially with Gorilla Biscuit, having a life after the band's kind of done. Now,
yeah.
I feel like that's a perfect example of that because, you know, I've heard so many bands talk about how crazy your shows were back in the day and how, like, you know, they would go and find footage or some bootlegs and mixtapes and stuff like that. I mean, how weird is it when a project's done that you keep hearing that and then be able to see that reaction all these years later when you get to do stuff again?
It's miraculous. I mean, I never really had any vision for any of this. So it was, you know, just trying to make a cool album that would, you know, kind of up the game for our peer group. You know what I mean? And then over time, you know, new people discover it. And so it's really amazing to me, particularly with Gorilla Biscuits, that young people always like dig it. Like kids are always getting into it. So, you know, I'm playing from people like my age and older than me to like little kids. And it's all about the, I don't know. I think there's a certain purity of what we were doing because it was 100% about it. You know what I mean? And that's been preserved over time and people pick up on that energy. And I find it, yeah, just miraculous. Like I don't know what to do about it except to enjoy it. And I think we play really good, honestly. Like I think we're a fun live band. Which wouldn't necessarily be true. Yeah.
Well, are you going to be a bit more relaxed on yourself next year and give yourself a bit more time off, or are you?
That's the ideal. To be honest, I have like 2 full months off. So like a normal, if you were to look at an average normal person and what their work schedule is, people who work like a real job, they don't get 2 months off, I don't think.
Yeah, that's true.
So in fact, no one needs feel sorry for me.
All right, fair enough.
I'm doing all right.
Good. Yeah. Good. I'm glad you see it. Like,
Yeah.
Well, honestly, it's so refreshing to hear that because, you know, it comes up quite a lot. Bands have experienced being jaded because, you know, just being on the road so much. And, you know, especially when we talk to people who have been, who are in a project for a while and then they've broken up and coming back. And the first time around, you can get so caught up in it that the little things just kind of affect you in ways you didn't think. So to see now that, like, you know, you've been doing this for so long, you've got three projects on the go and you seem so excited just to be doing this. I mean, is there anything over the years that you've noticed that flipped that switch, or have you done anything mentally to just be like, I want to enjoy this, I don't want to get jaded, I want to appreciate every opportunity and every chance I get to do something?
Yeah, I think that there's a certain wisdom that comes with age. Although I know people that, you know, way younger than me that have a more chill demeanor or big picture way of looking at things. I think that, you know, just kind of like meet people where they're at. You know, I think being in a band's a lot of pressure. You know, you were talking earlier, like, the album everybody loves, and then you try to do this other thing, you love it, but then the fans for some reason go, no thanks. And then how do you, you know, go with that? Like, that could spin you out, but other bands will just stay on that path, and then their next record's a huge hit or whatever. Maybe it's for the best, you know what I mean? Like, I think, like, there were times when I took things more to heart, and maybe over time, I don't trip myself out as much. And even if something tries to affect me, not tries to, but like if I do feel like, oh, well, fuck that. You know what I mean? Like, this, that's not right. I just go, hey, man, you're in a cool band. Like, just relax. You can, anything, issues are issues. Discuss them. People are generally like 95% want to do the same thing and have a good time. You know what I mean? And as long as everyone feels like they're being treated fairly and respects each other's, like, you know, artistry, time, etc. What's the problem? You know, everybody's cool. So I try to be more like that. But, you know, being angsty and pissed off and crazy also can make for a great band. So I wouldn't discount that either.
Yeah, that's cool. It all has its benefits.
I mean, you know, this, if it works, it works.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course. And as a songwriter point of view, I mean, how do you go about approaching things now compared to the early days? Have you just learned different things that work or don't? Or are you still quite experimental and up for different challenges?
I definitely have a desire to always top whatever I'm doing, yeah. You know? So I think that can be, that's good. It could be also be annoying because then you gotta, you know, your quality control could be out of hand, you know what I mean? You could be too hard on yourself, not hear what's good in something, overwork it. So I try to be aware of those things too, but I always want to do something, which I've done basically. I mean, we're talking about all these bands that I've done, they're always stylistically somehow different, and you know, and that's definitely a part of the people that I'm working with. Definitely makes it that way, because I feel like all my bandmates are all interesting, cool players and bring a lot to whatever it is. But my role is always to do something sort of unexpected or you know, that might go a different way. Like, that's good for the most part.
Very much so.
You know?
So say, you know, you come up with an idea, like you've come up with a riff or something. Do you automatically know which band that ends up being for?
Mostly do. Yeah, mostly do. So that's another thing that's cool about it too, because I don't like to feel tethered to like a single style. And like, even in my solo record or the Walking Concert record, which were records that were primarily songs that I wrote on acoustic guitar, they have a lot of variety. I just have very eclectic taste. So, you know, while I've been known for this heavier music, like, I like heavy music. I appreciate it, but it's not like all that I want to do. I like pop music. I like Britpop. I like, you know, acoustic, you know, all kinds of different music. It hits me. And so I guess I'm if I was like extremely successful at one form, I might force myself to do it, but I'm contentedly successful in all these different ones.
But yeah, and that's probably the best way to be honest.
It's working for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Who do you love musically that your fans might not expect you to be really into? Is there someone?
Well, there was a Canadian radio station was asking me for my favorite summer jam.
Yeah.
And this is not necessarily my favorite summer jam, but like the one that I thought of was Cruel Summer by Bananarama.
Nice.
Nice.
If you were to think I was some sort of like hardcore guy or some like, you know, gorilla, like hardcore or whatever, you know what I mean? You might envision that me as that sort of person. And then he likes Bananarama. That's a little suspect. Okay, fine. Cruel Summer, you think is a bad song? Like, all right, fine. It's your loss. But yeah, I mean, I don't really have any like guilty pleasures that I could think of. I kind of am just into what I like, and if it's corny, so be it.
Well, that's the thing with that collective taste and seeing those different scenes and being a part of these different scenes is that you've been able to see and experience like a whole new look at the industry and this umbrella of rock music, because, you know, what might work in hardcore might not work in kind of alternative or something a little bit more of a melody-based anthem. And I'm sure that's kind of being interesting to see, like the little nuances, little differences between every like subgenre.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of it has blurred over the years, you know, where you're hearing, you know, heavy band with this sort of like ultra sludgy metal part, and then it'll go into some sort of like, you know, kind of thing. And it's sort of like not unusual to do that. So I think probably nowadays... probably when I say nowadays, probably the last like 15 years, that's just been a natural evolution because people are streaming stuff. So you know, you just kind of like hear a bunch of songs and you're not so married to a particular genre. And even within that genre, like hardcore, like it's really has such much less to do with the music than it does with the sort of the ethos and the ethics of it. So within that genre is very, very blurred. And I think that's true over a lot of music.
Yeah. Saying that, is there ever been any bands or projects you've tried to do that haven't come to fruition or hasn't come out yet?
Ooh. There was something I was trying to do. I was thinking about the other day. I lived in Berlin for a few years, and I started this thing where I was doing these sort of like I don't want to say Einstürzende Neubauten, but like sort of like noise, like using like... noises for like pop songs in a way, like they weren't pop songs, they were like whatever, just songs, like trying to be like more a little bit more far out. Made a few songs that way, and I don't know, I just kind of like lost steam with that, and I thought that was something sort of interesting. That's it.
Yeah. Was that you losing steam with it, or was it you sending it to labels and then them?
I think it was a bit weird, and I just wanted to kind of green light what I was doing, and didn't have the patience to do something a little bit outside the box and give it that time. But I think retrospectively, I think I was just impatient, and it might have been terrible. I don't know, but I thought it was cool. I just kind of slipped back into like something a little bit more, you know, I wouldn't say standard, but a little bit more, yeah, a little bit more palatable, I guess, easily palatable.
Nice. Yeah. With that, you know, we mentioned influence and stuff like that and being part of all these different scenes, but do you remember the first time that you were kind of blown away about what you were able to do, whether it be finishing a certain song or meeting an idol or someone you thought you'd never get the chance to have like an interaction with? Is there anyone that comes to mind with that where you take back and be like, wow, that was such a fresh experience for me?
I mean, quite a few. It's been kind of amazing, you know. Lots of moments, lots of songs where I was like, holy shit, like, this is damn good. Like it wasn't what I expected, and it came out to where I was like, wow, I really love it. And then sometimes other people really loved it too. So that was really great. I met tons of cool people that I really respect, and thought, you know, if my teenage self could see me now, they would be freaking out. Even like a couple weeks ago, I was in Detroit, or a few weeks ago, and just sitting with John Brannon from Negative Approach. Like, like when I was a kid, I got into hardcore. It seemed like, you know, that was like untouchable. You know, I don't know. It just seemed like a made up person.
Yeah,
and
I know your friends.
Yeah, now you know. We're peers, you know, that's a really nice feeling. But yeah, you know, some famous people and stuff like that comes together. But part of the appeal of I don't know, it's not even the appeal of it. It's just like a kind of cool thing that happens along the way. It'll let you know, like, hey, man, whatever you were into, whatever was calling to you is answering you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, awesome. Well, as we wind down on this conversation now, I mean, these festival appearances you've been doing and stuff, it looks like you've been having a lot of fun with them. You've mentioned that next year may be a little bit more slowed down, or depending how you feel. But is there anything, do you have your mindset on, or something you still really want to do, whether it be new music with one of the projects or something else that we don't know about?
Yeah, I guess I just always want to like surprise people and come with something that's good, that's got some you know, some real shit that'll surprise people and be meaningful to them. Because I definitely you know, I go out on a trip like this week and I've gotten so many people come up to me and say the nicest things, including you guys. It's something nice to get used to. It's pretty cool. So, you know, it's just the feeling of like making that connection. You know what I mean? Because I feel it.
But yeah, but please don't take it when people say all these nice things. Please don't take it as just like, oh, they're just being nice. We all genuinely mean, like, thank you for the music.
Oh, man, of course.
For the inspiration, for everything that you've done. There's so, like, the majority of people here probably wouldn't be here if it wasn't for some of the stuff you've done. So.
Thank you so much. You know, honestly, it's really meaningful and it means a lot to me. So I appreciate that. And I think at this stage of the game, like, it's just wonderful. It's just wonderful to feel that appreciation. So thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for letting us just prick your brain and talk about these things. We've absolutely loved it. Really appreciate you taking the time, and I'm looking forward to the set. So yeah,
thank you very much. Thank you.
My pleasure, guys.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yes! That was the fantastic Walter Schreifels of so many brilliant bands. Rival Schools, Gorilla Biscuits, Quicksand, Youth of Today. He's just fantastic. But yeah, what a chat. Thank you very much to Emma Van Dytes for sorting it out. You are a superhero. We love her very much, and she's very, very good to us. So thank you very much for giving us this opportunity. Walter was an absolute fucking delight, as you just heard. But there was one little thing during the chat that I noticed, and that was he had a little tiny spider running across the peak of his hat. And yeah. I didn't know whether to help a brother out. But I thought, if I just start reaching up towards his face while he's talking, he's going to be like, yeah, we should probably start this interview now. I understand he likes me, but this is too weird. He's trying to grab my face. But yeah, so I let the little bugger run, and I think Emma got it after. But yes, what a chat, what a guy, what a good time we had. We never expected it. It wasn't planned. It was last minute. Emma said, I got some time with Walter if you fancy it. And we ate it up. It was fantastic.
Yeah, that's some of the highlights of getting to go and record at these festivals, is just moments like this happening and it just being such a pleasant, wholesome experience. As I said earlier, you know, we were just all sat on hay bales having a laugh and dissecting his musical career. And that was a dream come true, even though that spider was going around all sorts and made its way from his hat onto the microphone, all and everywhere. And that was a journey in itself. But we love Walter. We love all of his back catalogue. And thanks again for Emma for being an absolute champion at 2000 Trees and their whole team for having us do multiple things over the weekend. Go back to the last few episodes and you can check out what we got to backstage and everything like that as well. Speaking of his projects, I've just been told that Quicksand actually have two UK dates in October. And the 21st, they're going to be in Manchester, and the 22nd, they're going to be in London. So, nice. I mean, hopefully we can head down to those and have a laugh as well.
I would like that very, very, very much. When you say you've just been told, in the headphones?
Breaking news. Into my ear right now. The two dates have just been announced, and yep, tickets are on sale. That's the news.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't realize, Jeff. I had noticed, Jeff.
Unbelievable, Jeff. Yeah.
Oh, I had noticed it gone on sale. When did that happen? Well, I looked at, I saw people were buying them, but what? Yeah. Anyway, if you don't get that bit, that's sorry. That was Chris Kamara. YouTube bit. But yes, what a great time we had. 2000 Trees was a blast. Go back and check out our live podcast that we did with Prestamico/Unpeople. That was a good time. It was weird. Not weird. It was great to do it with an audience, and you can hear the audience throughout, and it's very, very funny. And you need to hear the 8 Flap story. Somebody tweeted me last night. Messaged me on Instagram last night and said, I forgot to tweet at the podcast saying I had a 9 Flap piss. I am so proud.
Wow. Champion. So, well done. If anyone can beat a 9 Flap pee, let us know at SappingPod on Twitter and Instagram. We'll put you in our story. And
you have to go back and listen to the last episode to
get the reference, because otherwise you don't know what the hell we're wrong about. But make sure you do that. While we're speaking of ticket updates, hey, good segue there.
Nice.
The Blackout touring February 2024. Yes. There's been a lot of love the last couple of weeks since it's gone on sale and announced and everything like that.
Weeks has been on sale. It's been on sale not even a week. When this comes out, it'll be
a week. Yeah.
A week.
Fuck, life drags, but I don't know where.
Life is taking forever, man.
But you've had some good news. There's some venues been changed and all this.
Well, yeah, you say good news.
You were scared of playing big rooms. I want playing bigger rooms.
It's that. That's happened. That's definitely happened. So what happened was, when we got offered the touring schedule, we got offered the Great Hall in Cardiff, but we said, no, come on, scale it down a bit. We won't sell that many tickets. Let's just go, it'll pass. That's 900. That's probably too many. Be nice to have a bit of space for everybody to move about. It'll pass sold out very quickly. It was done by Saturday. So they automatically upgraded to the Great Hall. And then the promoter, Johnny, messaged me and said, I told you so. Just let me do my fucking job. Manchester did very, very well at the Ritz, and by Monday morning, it was 99.2% sold. Johnny sent an email saying, we're going to upgrade this to Academy One as we have 6 months to go yet. None of us replied saying no. And so that got upgraded about 10 minutes after he sent that email. And then we started seeing the posters, and now I'm seeing sponsored ads everywhere for it, which is brilliant because I don't think I'm paying for them, so that's great. And they've got nothing to do with us. Hey. Like we haven't done them, so that's fantastic. But yes, thank you very much to everybody who's bought tickets so far. We are super, super appreciative of it. We never expected to play these big rooms. Even though we had the Great Hall from Cardiff on hold, we never thought this upgrade would have happened. If people in the Midlands, Wolverhampton, Nottingham, Leicester, I see you all, right? I see you all complaining that we're not playing in your town or city, right? But please, please, please make the effort to come to Birmingham, because Birmingham Academy is fucking massive. It's the biggest one on the tour by far. The only options were play Institute 2 in Birmingham, which is 600 capacity, or play Birmingham Academy. And it's fucking massive. So please come to that if you're in the Midlands. Also, to all the people complaining, people are coming from Australia. So, you know.
Yeah.
But please come and see the Blackout. We can't wait. We are working on supports over the next couple of weeks. So we might have something locked in. Fingers crossed. Thank you very much. Genuinely now, from all of us in the Blackout, we cannot believe it. Bob said he's over the moon the other day when I sent him the ticket updates, right? And then he replied, he said, I'm over the moon. And then the next message was, and I haven't been over the moon since 2005. So there you go. That tells you how we feel about the love we've seen so far. So thank you very much. You are making our dreams come true again.
Amazing. Thank you. It's been incredible to see that love and support and the everything going on. So I'm looking forward to it. Nice one. Congrats on it all. Very, very proud of you. Other people who are excited about it are our Patreon community at patreon.com.
Not all of them, I'd imagine. Not all of them like the Blackout.
No, but a lot of them are meeting up and they've arranging what dates they're booking hotels, they're booking plans, they're booking off parties.
We got a fucking buddy system on the go. It's fucking class. Yeah, literally,
it is a buddy system. There's people saying, I'm going to go on my own and I'm shy. And then everyone's going, you're not going on your own, man, because we're all there.
We're all going to be a bastard. And then the people are like, oh, actually, yeah, I might not go.
Actually, I'm not going to go at all then.
You mad fuckers. But yes, check out our Patreon community. They are the best. Patreon.com/happening.
If you subscribe, there over the next couple of weeks, there's going to be even more festival interviews that we're not putting out on the normal podcast that you can hear exclusively on there in the next couple of weeks. So it's worth subscribing for that as well. It helps make this podcast happen each and every week. It's a good laugh. And just get involved with the community. If you head to the description of this episode, there's loads of names there that we do thank. But as always, Sean is going to give a mahoosive shout out to the elite members of our Sapnin Podcast Patreon community. Those are the people in the top tiers.
Sweet, thank you very much. Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwoway, Janelle Caston, Paul Hirschfield, Kelly Irwin, Scarlett Charlton, Tony Michael, Dilly Grimwood, Nathan Croshaw, Mitch Perry, Natasha Morris, Emma Barber, Kat Besant, Molly Malloy and James Bowerbank, Jenny Robertson, Murray Grimwood, Scott Successful Burger Delivery Jones, Amy Dawson, Amy Louise, Stuart McNaught, Ellen Southfield, Stephen Aston, Caroline Robertson, Kate Puttock, Martina McManus, Louis Cook, Carl Pendlebury, Danny Eaton, James McNaught, Jenny, I'm a sellout, you're a fucking sellout, well done, boys. Thank you very much. John and Emma, Jason Heredia, M. Evans-Roberts, Craig Harris, Evan, Sean Foynes, Emily Perry, Adam King of the Goths, Parslow, Kalila Keane, Ollie Ainsbury, Josh, I got diarrhea after eating alphabet spaghetti. It was a large vowel movement. Crisp. Blood.
Oh. Bad.
Thank you very much. Alice Wood, Vicky, Joe Janaway, Connor Lewins and Kyle David Smith. Thank you very much to all of those people and everybody in our Patreon community. We love you very much. This wouldn't be available to everybody if it wasn't for you. So thank you.
We do. We appreciate you so, so, so much. Before you go, very quick story. I went to Milan very last minute for the weekend. Long story. I won't get into it. But what happened during that is mosquitoes decided that I was their new favorite person. My legs are currently covered in bites and it's very, very annoying. So if anyone has any home remedies or things that think they might help, let me know because it might help my week. But without that, it's been another great episode. It's been a guest we've never thought we'd have on this podcast and we'll be back next Friday and every other week with some very, even more special guests that will blow your mind and we can just have a good time with. So just click subscribe wherever you listen to and we'll see you next time.
Yes! Sapnin!
Sapnin!
Good times.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.